Representatives Ramos, Representative Elkins, Representative Berkowitz, Senator Ben Stevens, Senator Gatz, and Senator Gary Stevens. I apologize for the fact that we've just received these amendments. In fact, we don't have the third one complete, just to run. We've got three amendments here, and the first one is on death and disability. The second one is on contributions by employers to TERS. And the third one that says conceptual amendment is one we have not received yet, but if we get to that point without receiving the amendment, maybe we could consider this as a conceptual amendment. That'd be my plan. We're dealing with the bill, free conference CS for Senate Bill number 141, corrected, and it's backslash in. Does everyone have the right bill?
Yes, Mr. Chairman.
Question about protocol here. This is a free conference CS. Is this a different CS than the one that failed in the House?
This is the one that was passed by the last free conference committee. And we are the second free conference committee. So we're starting from that point.
A new CS.
No, you're right. You're right. This is not a new CS. Okay, we have three amendments before us, and I'd like to begin with number one, Representative Ramos.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd like to move Amendment 124-LSO637-N.2.
Thank you. And this is the amendment that deals with disability and death benefits.
I'll object for discussion and
thank you. Tracy, where is Tracy? Oh, Tracy, would you? Tracy Garbender has been dealing with this extensively and explained to us how we've arrived at this amendment. Thank you, Tracy.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My name is Tracy Carpenter. I am staff to Senator Lyda Green. This first amendment here is actually cleaning up the PERS disability statutes as they were drafted by legal services. What happened when they did that? They wound up creating a scenario where a person who became disabled, once they reached normal retirement age, they would be able to receive a retirement from both the defined benefits system and the defined contribution system. And it was just a drafting error. What we've done to clean that up, and actually that only applies
to... I want to make sure we're dealing with the right one. We got amendment number one.
Yeah. I apologize. My amendment number one and your amendment one.
It begins with page 16, line 18.
Correct. Amendment number one is actually changed to the TERS statutes. And what it does is it increases the employer contribution from 5% to 7% for teachers. And it also adds the death and disability benefits to the TERS statutes, similar to the PERS statutes. And all we've done is remove the references to police officers and firefighters.
Thank you, Tracy. So I'm sorry if I confused anyone, too. So we're dealing with amendment number one that begins with page 16, line 18. This deals with the issue of raising the contribution from 5% to 7%.
Right? Yes, correct.
Okay. Thank you. Is there any discussion? Yes.
I'm going to move subsequently to divide the question. But I was wondering, is there a fiscal assessment of what the increase in employer contribution would mean to the employers, we're going from 5% to 7%.
Chair Representative Berkowitz, it would mean a 2% increase to the normal cost rate. Right now, they're under the Senate Bill 141. The total normal cost rate is approximately 10.25%. I left my sheet over there. This would add 2% onto that for TERS employers.
In dollar terms, what would that mean, say, to the Anchorage School District, or what would that mean to the state of Alaska?
The Chair, Representative Berkowitz, I do have that information. I can break it down. In general, I can tell you that every 1% increase to the to the employer wage base for the entire population of PERS and TERS employers is approximately $22 million. I believe the payroll for the school districts runs in the neighborhood of somewhere between $500 and $600 million. So that would be $5 million for 1% for 500,000. I can do math. I'm not prepared for this today, apparently. No, I'm not in the ballpark without the numbers in front of me. $522 million for the school districts. Altogether, that's the base.
This would be approximately a $10 million increase to the school districts?
That'd be correct.
Well, you're saying, if I understand this right, you're saying there's a total of $522 million increase cost if we go from 5% to 7%. Is that what you're saying, statewide?
With Chair, Senator Stevens, the entire base, salary base, estimated for FY06 for all of the school districts is $522 million. And so you would apply the 1% to that dollar amount.
Thank you. Senator Stevens?
Mr. Chairman, maybe Melanie can. Let me get this right. This is a employer contribution increase, not an employee contribution increase.
That's correct.
And so, but this contribution only applies to the employees on that school district payroll. Does it apply to the existing Tier 2 payroll as well?
The Chair, it only applies to the new tier.
And so, the model that we just discussed, that $522 million, a 2% increase up to $522 million, is not an accurate statement, because I don't think that the percentage of new employees participating in this would maybe be, I don't know what the turnover is, but if it's a 10% increase, if it's a 10% turnover, that means it would be $50 million, and 2% of that would be a $1 million increase. On an annual basis. Is it, in other words, the question I'm saying is it only applies to the new employees in the new tier, not to the entire pool of teachers.
The Chair, Senator Stevens, you are absolutely correct.
Any clarification, Melanie, you have on that?
Tracy is through the chair. Tracy's absolutely correct.
Of course,
thank you.
You're correct.
Okay, thank you. We need to get back to Representative Berkowitz, who had an amendment. Did you, a motion that you said?
My motion was to divide the question. I think there's a distinction between the death and disability component of this amendment number one and the increase in benefits, and they should be discussed.
Objection. So your motion is to divide the question. How? Say that again.
On page 1, line 4, there's a distinction between the change to the contribution of employers and the death and disability. Section of this amendment. I think the question is divisible.
Okay, a motion to made to divide the question. Roll call, please, on motion to divide. Could you restate for the record what your motion to divide would do?
The motion to divide following on page 1, line 4, would be one amendment 1A, and the subsequent section, as I read it currently, would be amendment 1B.
Motion.
Yes.
Senator Gass?
Yes.
Representative
Elkin?
No.
Senator Stevens?
No.
Representative
Reimers?
No.
Senator Aaron Stevens?
No. 2
nay, 4 nay.
Okay, Representative Reimers, you had a question or comment.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Tracy, is it fair to interpret this as a 40% increase then beyond the Senate CS here, a 40% increase to the employer's contribution for the new the new defined contribution plan over what we've been working with previously, go from 5% to 7%.
Through the chair, Representative Ramos, there are other employer costs involved than just the contribution to the DC account. There is 1.75% for medical, 3% for the health reimbursement arrangement, and approximately 0.3% for disability. So you'd actually have to add those all together, and what we're looking at here would be it would go from 10% roughly to 12%.
Follow up, Mr. Chair. Tracy, I thank you for pointing out the components of this plan, but if we're simply analyzing the principal component of the defined contribution, the employer's contribution to the retirement benefit itself, my understanding is that previously it was at 5%, we are now moving to 7%. So just doing simple math just for the benefit of the committee and those that are hearing, I interpret that as a 40% increase in the benefit to teachers that are coming in this DC plan as we just isolated down. That is a fair way to assess this?
The Chair, Representative Ramos, almost half again. I believe that would be a way to characterize that.
Okay. Thank you very much. Thanks, Mr. Chair.
Representative Berkowitz?
Thanks very much. On the point of the cost here, I guess the ICER study that's received some attention noted that, among other things, that the rate of turnover among different districts in the state varies considerably. It would seem to me if you're talking about increasing the employer contribution rate from 5% to 7%, it's going to have a disparate impact on districts that have higher turnover because they're going to be bringing in new teachers under this proposed new tier. And I'm just a little concerned that there's no fiscal assessment of what that means to those districts or even to the state. I was wondering if there had been any fiscal assessment district by district of what a change from 5% to 7% would bring.
Through the chair, Representative Berkowitz, no, there has not.
Has there been any assessment of what it would mean to the state in the upcoming year? And how many new teachers does the state hire, right? People that we cover for this amendment?
To Melanie, I'm sorry.
Through the chair, Representative Berkowitz, I believe approximately in 2004 there were approximately 1,200 new teachers positions.
Statewide.
57 TERS employers.
Thank you very much. Further comments, questions? Yes, Senator Gass.
Tracy, can you just, you explained the first part of the amendment. Can you explain why you're seeking this change from 5% to 7%? What's the problem we're trying to resolve?
Through the chair, Senator Gass, I actually think there might be somebody at the table who could better explain it, but I believe the concern that is trying to be addressed has to do with the fact that teachers do not participate in Social Security, and therefore they don't have that safety net, and so an increase to their defined contribution account is being made to offset that.
I ask you.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, after I think the representative.
Representative Ramos.
Well, Mr. Chair, if I could just respond to Senator Guest. Senator, I share your concerns. I'm a tremendous advocate of education, like we all are at this table. And some simple math on 1,200 new teaching positions, I think it's probably a percent of payroll burden of about $40 million. 2% of that would be $800,000, and it's a everything I heard from the teaching community, by the dozens or hundreds that sought each of us out, is that not participating in SPS, not having access to Social Security, that they felt that they weren't getting fair bite at the apple compared to those that were in the private sector that are eligible for the federal plan. So I think we saw this, Representative Dawkins and I certainly on behalf of the House Caucus saw this as an opportunity to offset that special concern that the teaching community represents to us, and we think it's a significant increase and one that will help to attract teachers and retain the teaching community, which is certainly what I've heard from the superintendent of the Fairbanks North Star Borough School District. So we find this to be just a strong compromise between what's responsible for the state in designing a defined contribution plan, but one that really offers just a terrific defined contribution plan, is something that will help us to keep teachers and to hold on to them because they are such a valuable resource to the state of Alaska.
Thank you, Representative Ramos.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Other comments, Representative
Alvin? Just another comment. You know, teachers on a whole make $20,000 more than on an average than people in PERS. So a 2% bump to teachers is quite a bit of money in reality. I mean, it doesn't quite pick up what they would get through Social Security, but it gets real close to that number.
Thank you, Representative Hawkins. Senator Guest.
Thank you. If I can just move on to the second part of the amendment. Tracy, can you explain again, I think I understand what this does, I guess, why we're putting it in and whether this is modeled after other occupational disability benefits, other statutes, or is it new statute in some regards?
Thank you, Senator Guest, through the chair. These statutes are actually, what I did was I took the PERS statutes that had been drafted were actually modeled on existing statute in the defined benefits plan. And I just rearranged it, or rather, you know, just made the small changes that are required to make it applicable to the TERS system. So we're not dealing with brand new statute. We are dealing with the same concepts that exist in the occupational death and disability statutes today, and just slightly reworded to make it applicable to the teachers. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Two questions. One is procedural, and maybe you can answer. Are we going to hear from anyone else, maybe from the teaching community, about whether this is something to seek or support?
We have no more. No, we don't have any speaking to us.
Then the question I have is: it seems to me that part of this assumption is that 2% somehow equates to the amount of benefits that are being given up, and I was wondering if. Is that true, or somehow the 2% equates to what Social Security or SBS would be? And is that roughly, if you had someone who's being paid the same wage rate who wasn't in TERS but was in PERS, what percentage goes to SBS? Is that 2%, Helen?
Yes, Senator Stevens.
If I could expand on, address your comment. SBS is available now to PERS employers. Of the 160 PERS employers in the state, there's what I believe 16 that participate. Is that right for SBS employees? So the misconception is not all employees in the PERS system participate in SBS because it's up to the employer to provide that. It amounts to 6.13% of the employee. And then the employer matches it. But you have to remember, going back to the fact that it's up to the employer to match it. So school districts do not provide SBS for their PERS employees. The action here is to say, because school districts don't provide SBS, PERS is available to those political subdivisions that choose it. We looked at a concept to say, how do we provide SBS for TERS? But because the state cannot force an employer to implement the SBS or SBS-type system for TERS, the way to make up for it is to increase the contribution from the employee or side. The employee side is still the same at 8%. The employer now goes from 5 to 7%, so the increase to the defined contribution now is at 15. That's how this came about. So to compare it to a PERS system from the TERS system is inaccurate, because TERS does not have SPS. School district employees or PERS employees don't have an SPS either.
Okay. But the question I was asking had to do with the representation was made that the additional 2% would somehow equate to the fact that there's no Social Security benefits, and I'm wondering where that 2% came from and if that's a fair representation. And could it be 4%? Is it 1%? What's the apt comparison, and how do we wind up with 2%?
Mr. Chair, I'd like to take thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd like to take responsibility for that. This, my name is on this amendment. I think it's a fair bite at the apple. I think Representative Berkowitz, I think it's a good number. I think we want to see teachers thrive and stay inside of our school districts, stay here in the state of Alaska. And at the same time, we want to create a program that doesn't unfairly burden the school districts in administering that cost. So could it be 4, 5, 6, 7, 8? It certainly could, but this employer contribution at 7, the employee contribution at 8, is an aggregate of 15. I would suggest to you that the Social Security rate is 7.65% for an employer. Self-employment tax, anybody who is self-employed would match that and would pay in a total of 15.30%. So I would say that the employer-employee contribution is quite similar at 15%. If we wanted to make it an exact mirror, there ought to be 30 extra basis points in there. But I think that 15% is pretty skookum. And somebody that was self-employed, if they wanted to have their own 401k, they would invest money over and above that to fund their Roth IRA or some other retirement vehicle. And I don't think that it's any kind of a different burden that is on our education community. Their savings rate is at 8%. The employer rate is at 7%. There is some parity to the self-employment rate as the burden that federal government puts on those that are self-employed, and somebody wants to save in addition to that would do so through their own additional vehicle. So I think that I think that we have reasoned out 7% on that basis, and that there is a great deal of parity to the private sector in this figure. And that's how we arrived at this through dialogue.
Dialogue with Tom.
Thank you.
Representative Elkins, you and I talked about this.
Thank you, Representative Ramos, for the comments. Yes.
Yeah. Chair Stevens, I just wanted to add, with respect to Social Security and the amount of compensation, it's important to also recognize that even if teachers did participate in Social Security, that in 1983 the federal government enacted the windfall elimination provision and the government pension offset, and both of those provisions require an offset so the individual would have a reduced Social Security benefit as a result of receiving a state pension. So it needs to be incorporated. It's on a case-by-case basis, but that in the government pension offset, for example, that is a pure dollar-for-dollar elimination under the windfall elimination provision. It's individual, but there is a definite reduction in that individual's Social Security benefit as a result of that federal legislation.
Thank you, Melanie. For the comments on amendment number one, ready for question? Roll call vote on amendment number one.
Representative
Dawkins? Yes.
Representative Berkowitz?
No.
Representative Ramos?
Yes.
Senator Ben Stevens?
Yes.
Senator,
yes.
Senator
Harris. Yes. 5-1, pass up amendment number one. Let's go on to amendment number two.
Chair, I'd like to move to amendment two. 24-LS063-3, dated 5/20.
Thank you, Director Cardenas. Objection. Discussion.
Mr. Chair, if maybe someone could run through why, what this amendment does and why we have it in front of us, I would appreciate it.
Chair. Yes, President Ramos.
A lot of this language is just technical cleanups, I think, because of the length of this document. And I'd love to ask Tracy or Melanie to detail that for me. But my understanding, we're just cleaning things up technically. Is that correct?
Through the chair, Ramos and Senator Guest, this is a correction to a drafting error when the legal services first took the statutes from the existing defined benefits plan and transferred it into the new plan. She simply made a mistake in drafting it and allowed police officers and firefighters to receive both retirements, both a pension calculation and their defined contribution account. And this language cleans that up to make it so that the choice is you take one or the other as a police officer or firefighter. You either choose to take your DC account and the in however form you choose to have it distributed under the DC plan, or you may select to have a pension calculated in the same manner that is calculated for current Tier 3 employees.
How do representatives of the police and firefighters of the state feel about this amendment?
Chair Representative Berkowitz, I would not know.
As I understand it, Representative Berkowitz, this wound up with a double dipping, and that wasn't the intent of the legislation at all. So it's a matter of correcting an error in the drafting, and I think Tracy's explained that. That's all she had here.
Tracy, do the folks in public safety, the first responders, do they have the choice of taking whichever benefits, either the defined contribution amount or the pension?
The chair, that would be correct.
Thank
you. Scenario.
Thank you. Any further questions, comments? I have an objection. Roll call vote, please, on amendment number 2.
Yes.
Senator Guest?
Yes.
Representative Elkins?
Yes.
Senator Dan Stevens?
Yes.
Representative Brammer?
Yes.
Senator Gary Stevens?
Yes. Thank you. We'll move on to amendment number 3, which, again, I apologize, this is a conceptual amendment. We have not received the, the full draft of the amendment, but I think we can go through this. Unless there's an objection, it seems to me that we can go through these few little cleanup areas so you understand, we understand clearly what it is, and can pass it as conceptual amendment. So I'd ask for an amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move conceptual amendment number 3.
Thank you. Okay. For
explanation.
Tracy, if you would, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senator Guest, would you like for me to go through every single one of these amendments or just give you the general idea?
I would appreciate the general idea, and then if we can just go by the section, because I haven't had a chance to read it.
Certainly. During all of the iterations of this bill, there have been some drafting changes that have been identified by both the legal services and retirement benefits and myself, as because we're dealing with two sets of statutes, 1425 and 3935. Sometimes they would not necessarily get drafted the same, things would be left out. And then when we switched to from an implementation date of 2005 to 2006, we had a very short time period for legislative bill to turn the bill around. There were just some errors made. And all this set attempts to do is just to clean up the bill as much as possible and get a good bill passed.
And then if we could just briefly go through, I realize it's quite a bit here, but through step by step so we understand that definitions first, if you would, Tracy, just...
Sure, Senator Stevens. The definitions,
before you get started, are these the page and line numbers to backslash n? Because they don't seem to match up.
They are, and if they don't match up, then I must have messed it up somehow.
The first one, Mr. Chairman, is page 5.
Page 5, okay.
Line 12 to 15.
Page 5, line 12 to 15, all right?
Thanks.
And thank you, Senator Guest. Could you explain that, Tracy?
This first one here actually was just a cleanup suggested by legislative legal in defining the plan, and the change actually only applies to number one here, and what it does, it just changes it to identify that there are two plans within the chapter rather than just the one plan, and that mirrors what the drafters did in 3935 under this definition section.
Okay, thank you, Tracy. Any questions on that first change? The second one, page 6, lines 60 through 21.
Mr. Chairman, under this one, this is simply the only change to this from the existing bill is adding the words under AS 1425540 about the fourth line down. It's just a clarification that the drafter suggested just to make it clear under which statutes things were being selected.
Thank you. Any questions on that change? Next one is replace page 26, line 16 through page 27, line 6.
Mr. Chairman, this is just cleaning up the definition of the whole concept of retiring and being eligible to receive medical benefits under this plan. It was a new concept in between the changes from state affairs to finance to free conference, where we went from not having the requirement to retire from the plan to having the requirement to retire from the plan. And so this was just taking the opportunity at this time to change the language so that it was very clear the concepts we were expressing. It just basically wordsmithing.
Thank you. Any questions on this change?
No, but can I have a second to read it?
I'm sorry, what?
May I have a moment to read it?
Oh, certainly. Thank you. Sorry, guys. So, just a little rewriting here to make it clear. Any objections to those changes? Page 29 through page 31, line 2.
Mr. Chair, the change to this is basically the last line in this paragraph. And retirement benefits requested that we make this change just to make it clear that employer matches for employees that convert from the DB plan to the DC plan are not to be made from the DB trust, so that we do not get in a position where we are taking away from the beneficiaries of that particular plan.
Okay. Thank you, Tracy. Any questions on that change? The next one is page 38, lines 15 through 20. Is that right, Tracy?
That's correct, if I got the sites right, Mr. Chair. This is just a cleanup on the definition of a teacher or member under the, I believe, under the TERS statutes. It sort of, this sort of flows out of the free conference, first free conference committee, where there had been a change to the definition of persons that teach at Aptec, and then that was, the free conference committee decided to go back to the original language, which didn't include that, and so this is just a cleanup.
Thank you. Any questions on that change? Next one, yes.
Yes.
Thing about C.
On page 38, it currently says a full-time or part-time instructor of the Department of Labor Workforce Development who has either one or two teaching certificate or earlier credit. The only thing this amendment does is take away the who has. So how does that impact what this is doing?
May I borrow? Excuse me. Sure, I'm referring to the correct section. Okay, this is...
Senator, could you repeat your question? I didn't hear you.
You look on page 38, line 16, or 15 and 16. We're basically taking out the who has in with this this part of the amendment, and I just want to understand.
Well, I want to clarify that a little bit, in that the Aptec often has teachers who... Some who are certificated teachers and some who don't require certificates because they're teaching welding or whatever it might be, and they're not certificated teachers, they're more vocational type teachers. So I think what this is saying is that everyone who is in Aptec, it's covered by this plan, whether they are certificated or not. Is that, would that be correct?
The Chair, Senator Stevens, that is correct.
Am I reading this change doesn't do anything? I mean, we still have one and two of that section. For some reason, the director just wants to take out who has. So am I getting the gist of?
No. Through the chair. Senator, yes, actually, who has through number two would be removed.
Yeah, and I think that's an error. What Senator Guest is pointing out is that there's no deletion of lines 17 through 20 on page 38.
And that would be that this is a conceptual idea.
In essence, you put a semicolon after development, and you delete everything from beginning on page 16, who has, to the bottom of line 20, page 38.
Okay. Yeah, that's correct.
I think that's correct, President Berkowitz. That just removes that portion.
That is correct.
Okay. It's not clear.
But,
the chair. Senator, I guess that should be clear with in the amendment that comes from Ledge Legal. I work closely with the drafter, and she understood my intent.
Yep, that's certainly intentional. Okay, any other questions on that
change?
That's
why I was confused.
Okay. The question was page 40, line 23.
Mr. Chair, this is just literally something that the drafters requested. They had divided each subsection into an amendment. An extra section for each one of these just to make the amendments. And the drafter said, well, that's not correct drafting, and so they changed it. It's not making any change other than to just delete the three or four sections that it was previously requiring to make these changes. It's just making it in one section.
Any questions on that? And again, Tracy, just to make clear, this is simply a cleanup. There's nothing of any substance in any of these changes. It's just suggestions by legal services or by retirement and benefits. Nothing of substance in
that's
this.
Correct, Mr. Chair. These are just cleanup items.
Okay,
to make
so I think the next one then is
74.
Delete section 74. Is that right? Is that the next?
Mr. Chair, that's correct.
Okay.
And this was an error. In the first free conference committee, that committee agreed that this language would not be in codified law, and the drafters missed it, and I missed it. And so this is just correcting what the free conference committee had agreed upon.
Okay, thank you.
So, that's a good question. So we're not going to encourage cost-saving measures now?
The chair, I would defer to Melanie Milhorn on this one.
Representative Berkowitz, I think the division does have initiatives, and we are actively engaged in cost-saving measures.
We have a number of initiatives that we're working on right now. I believe that the intent from the legislature is to receive a report annually about the initiatives that we are engaged in, and to further have a report that provides the cost savings associated with those initiatives.
Does, if I could, Mr. Chair, include easing manufacturers' rebates, copay levels, substituted copayments, structures, generic drug, et cetera, et cetera?
There are a number of, when you're talking about that specificity, we're engaged in looking at all of those particular areas, and we use our third-party administrator, which is our benefits, our pharmacy benefits administrator, to look at those specific details. But we do have initiatives such as generic drugs that we are moving toward, and we have a very long list that I would be happy to share with you of those initiatives.
Yes, Senator. Yes.
Representative Berkowitz, you might check out the last page. It seems like that's that was dropped, and that's the report that you're talking about. Okay.
Any further questions on this change, this deletion? Next one, page 105, lines 7 through 11.
Actually, line 30, Mr. Chairman.
Line what?
Starts 105, line 30.
Line 30, thank you. Page 105, line 30.
Section C.
105, that would be line 7 in section C.
I think it's line 7, yeah. Each eligible member?
That's down at the bottom, page, line 30.
You have the M?
I'm on A, yeah, you're right. Pardon.
Okay, Tracy, could you tell us about this change?
Mr. Chair, this is a cleanup, and it is similar to the one we did on page 3 at the top to page 3929. This is in reference to the option to convert from DB to DC plan, and the last line clarifies that the matching contribution will come from funds other than the DB trust. And also the words present value of the member contribution, the words present value of the were eliminated to make it clear that it's actually just the balance of the member contribution account at the time that the person chooses to convert is the amount that will be transferred.
Thank you, Tracy. Any questions? The next change is on page 6, I believe, the draft you have. It's replaced pages 96, line 23 through page 97, line 15. Tracy?
Again, Mr. Chair, this is the same cleanup language for the medical eligibility that we made on page 2. It's just simply applied to the PERS statutes.
Thank you. Any comments? Last change is...
Mr. Chair, this goes hand in hand with deleting section 74 from page, I believe it's page number 5. The conference committee agreed that a report to the legislature by the Division of Retirement Benefits on their cost-saving measures would be very appropriate. And so this, we're adding this back in.
Thank you. Yes, Senator Guest.
Is there a reason that the report is only about the budget?
The Chair, Senator Guest, I don't know the reason other than that was this has been the conversation throughout this entire process.
Thank you.
Just want to make sure the health care system including insurance costs, is that correct? Just benefits, direct benefits.
Mr. Chair, Representative Berkowitz, the report would include any of the initiatives that the division had engaged in and a report of those, the cost savings associated with the active plan and the retiree plan, because we have initiatives for both of those plans. We
vehicles that we use in order to monitor, report, and look at these various different initiatives on an ongoing basis. So our goal to the legislature would be to provide a report on the active plan and the retiree plan. For example, positive open enrollment, we're engaged in that right now. And we would have that same initiative for the retiree plan.
Thank you, Madam. Any further questions on any of these? Please, on conceptual amendment.
Representative Berkowitz?
Yes.
Senator Gadd?
Yes.
Representative Dawkins?
Yes.
Senator Dan Stevens?
Yes.
Senator Brammer?
Yes.
Senator Gary Stevens?
Thank you. We have then before us the amended pre-conference Senate Bill number 141. Representative Ramos.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
Apologize for interrupting, but I have received a note from the reviser of statutes that has caught an error in the bill that needs to be corrected. Because of the delayed implementation date to fiscal year 2007, which will be July 1st, 2006, there are two places in the bill. Page 16, line 27, which is establishing the costs, the medical insurance costs for the employers at 1.75% for fiscal year 2006. That should actually be for fiscal year 2007.
Okay, so the change you're recommending is on line 27 of page 16, 2007 instead of 2006.
And a corresponding change on page 86 of line 27.
86, line 27, and that should also be 2007?
That's correct.
So the roofie changes we've got yet to go, huh? Representative Ramos, would you have a motion to approve that?
Mr. Chair, I'd like to move a conceptual amendment. I want to make that a conceptual amendment, Mr. Chair, or do you want me to be a specific amendment?
Make a specific amendment.
Specific amendment to page 16, line 27, to change out the year 2006 to 2007. And on page 86, line 27, change out the year 2006 to 2007.
Thank you. Is there any objection to that? And that we've agreed to that. And then back to you, Representative Ramos, for a motion to approve the amended bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move that we approve the free conference CS for Senate Bill number 141-LS0637-N. As amended?
Yeah, and if I could just speak briefly to the objection.
Yeah, please go ahead, Representative Berkowitz.
Thanks very much, Mr. Chair. Section 2408.036 requires fiscal notes on bills. This is really not in a bill status that would technically require a fiscal note, but there's been some serious modifications to a bill that exists without any attendant analysis of the impact of the bill as modified on the actuarial soundness of the retirement system, and to me that's somewhat of a dereliction of our responsibility. Similarly, there's been no fiscal assessment to either the state or to the many employers around the state that are going to be impacted by this legislation should it pass. And again, I think this is somewhat another instance of the legislature passing costs on to employers, local employers, without understanding the costs, and again, I find that to be irresponsible.
Representative Berkowitz, any further comments or questions? If you're ready for the question, then roll call, please, on the motion to approve this bill.
Representative Berkowitz?
No.
Senator Gass?
No.
Representative Dawkins?
Yes.
Senator Ben Stevens?
Yes.
Representative Ramirez?
Yes.
Senator Gary Stevens?
Yes.
4 yeas, 2 nays.
Thank you. Then the motion passes. Is there anything further to come before this committee? Very much. Please adjourn. Thank you, Greg. Hope you get better. You need to sign this before you leave.